Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 8th. Look what the cat drug in.
That's right.
Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. It's great to be here.
Good Christmas holiday, all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it was all right. Dad did family stuff, and we were around and for both of those, and did get away just this last, just got back into town for, was out of town for just a little bit.
So got a couple of days respite?
5 days or something like that, yeah.
It sounds like a lifetime, or could be.
Yeah, no, it was great. Saw a little bit of snow, played around in it, threw some snowballs.
Snowballs?
It was good.
Isn't that the thing that, coastal kids always want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Got to make a snowball. Mm-hmm. And then if you're really crazy, you try a snowman, and you realize how much effort there's really involved in that.
Yeah.
And you back it down.
Yeah. Actually, stayed at the... There's a Sierra Club that has a lodge up near off the 80 up there on the Sierras.
You really went for the snow.
Yeah. It's kind of like a hostel kind of thing. It's got, common bunk rooms and stuff like that.
Is that like out by a squaw and that far out?
It's closer than that. It's pretty nice.
Okay.
And it's very affordable, and then you get food too, so it works out. You don't have to think about shopping or anything.
You just kind of hang out
with your kids in the snow. It's kind of fun.
Dig a little bit of snow, couple snow tunnels and have some fun.
Yeah,
did you do
good.
The angel thing too?
I did not do any angels. Nope, not my thing, as you might imagine.
Yeah, that would just kind of be a little. Yeah, whoever did that must have had a lot of clothing on.
There you go.
At the time, the first one that did that. Hmm. Oh, okay. Let's see if we can find something. Are we through the L's? I don't think so.
Give me a Z.
You want a Z?
Sure, go right to the end.
All right, let's see if there is a Z.
Spoiler alert.
I don't pink. There are two.
They'll take it.
All right, you want one or two?
The last one.
All right, zest.
Mm-hmm.
Why does zest mean enthusiasm?
Why does zest mean enthusiasm? Because when you bite into an orange peel, it just gives you a little bit of zest.
Because in its Greek form, zest means a piece of orange
or
lemon peel. You nailed it.
Of course.
And the addition of a slice of orange or lemon peel adds zest to a drink or dish and makes us more enthusiastic about it.
That's right. That's why I like them in my,
iced tea?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep, I like
it.
My Negroni. It's called a Negroni. It's a drink.
Okay.
I like that.
Now you've got... bragging rights now for an extended period of time.
There you go.
I'm not sure I can handle that.
I own this place. You ready?
That's right. You are now the man. Oh, gee. Well, last time we got together was just before the vote on the wind turbine.
Oh, that was real fun.
Yeah, I would suspect that of all the five, you were the one that had the most difficult challenge in arriving at a decision.
That might have been true. I don't know. I mean,
upon reflection now, it's been, 3-4 weeks?
Sure.
What do you think? Did it go the way it should have? Could there have been things done differently?
Oh, I think there could have been a lot of things done differently, for sure. But that's, in those moments, it's really hard to go backwards. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to go backwards, as we all know in life. And there was, at that moment, there was really no good decision from where I was standing.
You were going to take arrows one way or the other. Did you want them in the front or the back?
Well, it wasn't about arrows to me, really. It was about arrows to the community in general. I mean, the project itself, and I think there was so much misinformation about the project, no matter what your political stripe was, it just seemed like the information... and mostly on the negative side, was very, very, very negative and extremely misinformed on all sorts of levels. And I think that from an energy perspective, the information that was available wasn't very put out there in any sort of way that combats that. I mean, most of the people I know that received their information received it from basically Facebook, and so we know how that works, right?
Yeah, the vetting is a little weak there.
Yeah, just terrible. And so there was that, and that was one component of it. And then, as we all know, the component where Wiat tribe had determined that the ridge itself was a sacred place related to the world renewal ceremony, and it's hard to step back from that space too, and from where many of the public view things, and where even like myself, that's, it has importance. It's not everything, but it definitely has importance. And so we were kind of at a place where if in that moment moving forward, it could really blow up in a totally negative way, and we would have a sort of Standing Rock situation, which is, and Standing Rock is the place where the pipeline was in North Dakota.
Oh, I was thinking the Hawaiian telescope.
Well, that too. Same thing. Yeah. Same situation.
Whereas old timers could go back to Alcatraz.
And so, I was trying to really figure out a way to, cut the project back a bit so that we could avoid that. But in that moment, we couldn't really do it. We were, being told that the tax credits that the company needed to make it pencil out, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We get tax credits for putting up solar panels, and we get tax credits for buying electric cars and all kinds of things that are trying to move us to decarbonize our energy system. This is just another one. We were told they were to end that day, and they were to end that day. Just ironically, while we were having the meeting, no one knew this, they were reinstated. So that was a really...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was very...
For how long? How much longer?
I don't know. The next year, I suppose.
Okay, so...
But we were in this place where, it was a maker, it was like a no-go, no-go situation under our understanding. And unfortunately, it kind of pressured into this spot where me personally couldn't get this to move forward in my mind without some further negotiation to occur, and it just couldn't happen. So I think we learned a lot of lessons on this for sure, and there needs to be better ways of people talking to each other about these things. And certainly there are a lot of misinformation, as I mentioned, related to just the energy system part of that, and we could talk about that more if you want.
I suspect we shall.
All right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. I think it's concerning reality, but still concerning, that Facebook becomes the source of information things, technical things, even more concerning.
Right.
Do the research, not rely on somebody's interpretation of somebody else's commentary.
Well,
I mean, that seems kind of intriguing. So when we get to the energy situation,
right.
I would suppose, 7 degrees separation and you get to anybody? Mm-hmm. We're probably about 35 degrees away from the actual fact.
Yeah, well, I think
as it gets spun and twisted and misinterpreted.
Well, I think we're all prone to that. I mean, we're trained to sort of immediately have an opinion in general about things in the current context of the way the politics are and just about anything. And so something, a project like this, and living in Humboldt County, most of us think of this is a big thing, and we don't like big corporations or maybe big industrial stuff in general. I mean, just as
typically the out of the area.
Because that's one of the reasons why we live here. And we love it, right? And so when someone proposes a project that looks like this, that has these 600-foot towers and those sort of things, our immediate place is to go, I'm suspect of that, and that's okay. That's an okay thing to happen. What happens though for many of us, and I'm included in that, arena, and we have to check ourselves often, is our confirmation bias. So when we receive information that confirms that bias that we already have, we tend to embrace it, yeah, to internalize that different than maybe information that is absolutely true that doesn't confirm my bias. We are prone to reject that information, right?
Well, sure, you hang around with people you like rather than people you don't like.
For instance, and certainly I would say that many of, you know, the shows that are on this station and many others like it that are prone to opinion, that we feed on that stuff, and we have to be much, much better at that. And this is a situation where I think that was really true too. So there's a lot of confirmation bias. So anytime you'd hear anything that was that confirmed my bias or confirmed your bias or whatever it is, then we would consume that. And there was just a lot of that type of thing happening. And so I'll give an example. I would talk to many people who would say, well, that electricity that was going to be generated by this project was for out of the area, right?
Right. That was a common thread.
But that's just not the way electricity works. I mean, physically, electricity goes to the shortest location, you know, the closest location to feed where it goes. And that's us. That's
kind of like
County, right?
Kind of like those fountains that go multiple tiers. The first one fills and then leftover fills and then leftover fills.
I think there was some confusion about, you know, how marketplaces buy electricity and those sorts of things. And even in the marketplace, RCEA, our local energy provider, was going to buy, I think, 2/3 of that electricity just from a marketplace perspective. But that's not how electricity actually functions, right? You buy it in a larger market space, but at the same time, really the electricity goes to the closest location. So this electricity, absolutely, for the most part, unless we're generating electricity in some other way, would come here. And what we also know,
and provide that island,
right,
stuff that folks were concerned about,
right,
or wanting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, it would actually increase our independence. That also, and when you consider the alternative, which the alternative really is our natural gas fired plant here on Humboldt Bay, right? So state law basically says that if you have an alternative to your fossil fuel plant in terms of generating electricity, that you use that alternative, and this would be that alternative. So really, the choice we were making at that moment was, do we get our electricity or half of our electricity? And we're looking at lights, they're all around us, and it's powering the station. Half of this electricity in general comes from a natural gas powered plant, a fossil fuel plant on Humboldt Bay. The wind power, right, would have replaced that. Basically, by law, would replace that, and that would basically only be used, the fossil fuel plant on Humboldt Bay would only be used in case of basically an emergency or when we really don't have the power coming in from these other
redundant
sources.
Redundant backup.
Exactly, yep. And our other sources of local electricity come from two biomass plants, basically, and a very, very small amount comes from some solar panels that are out there. And so this choice that we made, you know, that I was part of, that I had to make, which is why this was a no good from my perspective, is that we chose a natural gas or fossil fuel plant to supply half of our electricity over a greenhouse gas free, you know, green from the perspective of energy production, wind energy.
So was it just the visual?
Well, you
that
know,
was the,
that was,
the
I
other
mean, often
side?
Often that's where the confirmation bias begins. But there are, you know, there are reasonable concerns related to wind energy associated with avian species, for sure, birds, raptors, those sorts of things. There are definitely those concerns are meaningful, right? But you have to look at it in balance to if you really believe that climate change is real, you believe that it is greenhouse gas
net positive
driven
versus net negative.
You got to understand that this has impact. Now people say, like, is it measurable? Marginally measurable, but it's like, or they'd say it's drops in a bucket, But we all have to put our pieces in the bucket if the bucket's ever going to get full. And that's part of why the sort of anxiety about a project like this, right?
KINS, mm-hmm. News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Mike, with the decision, I guess the current standing decision, mm-hmm. with the wind project, do you have fear that it's a chilling effect for future potential projects, either energy-related or non, coming into the area? Because these guys spent a ton of money getting it to that point.
I think it was like $10 million or something.
And then, yep. I mean, not too many of us have the ability to do that or the desire to do that. And now if an area that you're considering has a history of dismissing significant projects, let's work in Sonoma County instead.
Well, I think that that's not an unreasonable thing to think about or be concerned about, but it's also that just means it's something you need to work on and react to.
You anticipate the emotional?
Well, I think this was a fairly particular project, the TerraGen project or this wind project. I think that it was definitely different in by its location and those sorts of things that really, you know, so it's just a fundamental piece of landscape in our community that, and we take our landscapes very seriously. And I think that generated a certain amount of interest beyond just what, a building or something like that, you know. And so I think that's where we as a community really have where we play into things. And so I do think that, and if you're referring to like projects around Humboldt Bay and those sorts of things.
Not just in Humboldt County.
I would, you know, the advice I would have for any, investor or anything to, you know, in coming into Humboldt County to do projects is really reaching out to everybody. And we do know now that tribes do have a particular place in that, as they should.
Was it concerning?
I think that didn't play out as seriously as it should have until the end, and it really, in this last process, should have happened way up front. And I think that any business thinking about coming here with significant, especially landscape-changing projects, really needs to reach out and work with tribes way up front.
Was it concerning to you that this was not identified within the governmental structure as an area that had that kind of significance? Because my thought when I heard it was, and I guess there's been a couple of other folks that have said everything in the county could qualify. Let's say the mill site in Fortuna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody's looking at building there, that something like this could pop up or resurface again. If it's not already identified prior to it, how does anybody know what is or what isn't sacred land? I mean, that seems like very nebulous at this point until it's identified.
Well, I don't speak for tribes on this because I'm not, I would say that
as a decision maker.
Yeah, though, as a decision maker, I believe we really saw what was an extreme situation and not a former mill site, you know,
worst case scenario.
I think this is a really, this was a, and again, non-tribal people in Humboldt County tend to, oftentimes as part of our confirmation bias, will attach to supporting a tribe when we want to, and maybe not so much when we don't want to.
Situational.
And when I say we, I mean, I'm just talking about lots of people, and we, as humans, we tend to, you know, have inconsistencies in that way.
Broad strokes, sure.
And so, I think that, you know, there was a lot of attachment to the landscape of this project versus, you know, a former mill site. So I think it's reasonable to address those things as quickly as possible and upfront as possible. And I understand there certainly should be and can be some anxiety about, unless things are registered, or everyone would like to, as a developer, is like to have things, you know, these are registered special locations where here are the rules. The problem that, especially even what we just saw, it doesn't matter what all those rules are and the law is if the community takes on the ownership of sacredness of a location. It doesn't matter whether it was 100 years before, 1,000 years before, or a month before. Once you've crossed that threshold, there is really, it is almost impossible to pull back from that space.
Right, but how do you deal then with property rights, or in whatever the situation is, or you get a project that makes it through the state, makes it through the Coastal Commission, makes it through the feds, and then all of a sudden something pops up at the end and supersedes the work that had been done prior to that? I mean, it seems like there's a Pandora's box that has been opened that, I mean, a chilling effect, not in Humboldt County exclusively, but throughout the country. That is really sobering.
I just keep going back to, you got to do more work up front. I mean, we're just did not do what I think could have been done. And I think everyone was doing everything according to the law, right? I don't think that's not the issue in this case and moving forward. There are things you got to do that are above the law if you really want to be successful. And that's not just with tribes. That's with people in general. Like, you know, that's politics of
right. Community support.
Right. I mean,
got
that's
that
right. Right. So I think we focus a lot on tribes oftentimes because the power of the tribes is a bit new and evolving, and
well, it's commoner here
right,
than
right.
it is elsewhere.
And certainly demographically, it's much, you know, more important here than it is in other places, and it has value too. It's like there's a lot of value in our community, especially in the last 25 years of the renaissance of tribal cultures in our community.
Clark Museum. It's, you know, the Hannahs had done that going back, 30, 40 years.
Right. Well,
it is recognized.
I mean, the work of the tribes themselves and the work that they've done and the cultural renaissance they've been able to share with everybody has really helped us all understand this place a lot better and become better citizens. And so we have to really recognize now more than ever that we need to work together on stuff. And I think that's really the place that we're going to have to get to on this.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. So, Mike, the legacy of this process...
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's going to spill over? Because I think a lot of the arguments could be used for the windmills. Sorry, I know that's not the right word. The windmills offshore.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of common arguments that are there.
I think there's a concern. I mean, for me, the legacy, a lot of it is going to be more upfront work about everything we do, about not just tribal stuff, but just informationally. I mean, and even how we frame or have perspective. So oftentimes we look at a project as a community as if it's an the status quo is a neutral position. And what I think a lot of people didn't understand is it's not a neutral position in terms of that project that we were just talking about with the wind, and then certainly with the wind offshore. It's we're going in a negative direction. We are producing our energy currently that we use every day, that we see in our lights, and everyone's listening to this radio show, and it's all energy produced by fossil fuels. Right? Whether, half of it, the other half is biomass. And both of these are greenhouse gas producing, you know, energy, right? And so by not choosing the windmill, we chose by default the status quo, which is to produce our energy using, you know, and that emits greenhouse gases in significant amounts. And so that's not how we viewed it as a community. We viewed it as whether we're not going to, you know, take wind energy and its impacts, right, versus the status quo, which we think of as like acceptable. Nothing. No, yeah, it's acceptable because we just are surrounded by it every day and we don't really think about it anymore. And I think we really need to be more, the precedent setting part for me is really pushing to let everybody understand that our energy consumption at every level has impacts. Our energy consumption for electricity, how we have our cars, what we, you know, how we transport sure. ourselves, or how we heat our house, or we cook our food, it all has impact. So, and we really have to be better, much better understanding of that.
So mm-hmm. looking at the offshore
right.
project with the windmills.
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to be tethered, they're going to be connected, so they're going to have some fish are going
to
be taken.
One impact that we have to understand with that too is like, and understand that this is a new, it's a nascent technology in general, so we don't know what's going to happen necessarily. We don't know what impact, you're right, it's going to have on whales and fishing and all those sorts of things, but it's also to generate the same amount of energy as we may have done with the onshore project. It is $1 billion more. All right. And one impact of that is who pays for that $1 billion? And what we do understand is that probably the lowest electrical rates we would have gotten for our electricity would come from things like onshore wind. Right. And we lose a lot of that advantage in terms of price into our community. And I mean, everybody, both,
sure, more
both rich and yeah. and especially, you know, working class and
oh, sure.
and poorer people.
Power is power.
That yeah. impact will be felt as we choose more expensive options. And so I think that's one of the things we really have to consider. But I am hoping that we move forward with really evaluating that option, because it's not just green energy, but it's also a lot of jobs.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.